Hey, listeners, welcome to the Joanna Whaley podcast. If you're like me, I was someone who felt so alone in my queerness when I was in the closet and in my faith. I felt like I was the only person who wrestled with being LGBTQ and also being Christian. Well, we're going to put an end to that. On the first and third Monday of every month, starting in June, we're starting support groups. And I will be facilitating free support groups for anyone who needs support and needs to see that there's other people trying to figure out life and faith and their queerness at the same time. You can go to joannawhaley.com/events and reserve a spot now because they will fill up. We're beginning another installment of our series called Mother God. Here we go. Hey, podcast listeners, I am so excited about this week. Now, we are about to start, for the second time in the podcast's history, a live interview on the podcast. And I'm really excited about the guest today because it is my sister, Beverly. Hey, Beverly.
Hey, girl.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, 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 yes. For my listeners, you need to know that Beverly is my chosen sister, and we kind of determined this like, what, a year ago, I think? We were sitting, you know, drinking White Claws, and we were like, hey, are we just going to do this? Are we just going to be sisters or what? And it has been, I mean, a beautiful relationship, and we've just been closer than biological family, honestly. But I wanted to bring Beverly on the show today because we're in this series called Mother God, and we want to explore the intersections of queerness and motherhood, obviously, because like this will be the Mother's Day episode. But Beverly is the parent of a queer child, of a trans child. And I wanted my listeners to hear her story of how she's navigated this. I've had this awesome opportunity to watch this from the sidelines. And so, Beverly, I want to first start off by asking you, you know, you were raised evangelical. And you were married young. So how did all of that affect, like, how you viewed LGBTQ people?
Yeah, so like a lot of people in the church, we were kids. We got married and had Jackson when we were only 19 years old. And being raised in the church was good in a lot of ways because it provided a support system for us and the kids. It helped cultivate a spiritual relationship with God. But I remember being taught from very conservative views from the pulpit. And because of where it was coming from, I thought those were God's views. So I really took them to heart. And I remember being told, you know, homosexuality was a sin. And that was confusing for me because I believe people were born gay. Yeah. So I had a hard time understanding, you know, if God made them that way, how is that a sin? And the answer I would get was, well, people are born with sin. But that answer, it never satisfied me because, you know, if God gives you love for someone, how is that bad or wrong? I just really struggled with that for yeah. years. And the other thing that bothered me was how, you know, the church seemed to focus on some, you know, quote unquote sins like homosexuality. But then other things mentioned in the Bible, like divorce, for instance, those things are never brought up. People can get remarried in the church. That's not a problem.
Yeah.
So that was something I took it to heart. I remember, you know, believing in it, but I never understood it. And it always bothered me because the God I knew didn't match with what I was being, you know, yeah. taught in
so,
the church.
So what was the turning point for you? What shifted your thought? Because now knowing you, you're Christian and you also are very affirming.
So
what was the shift for you?
I think as I had friends and family members come out, I just saw who they loved and how they loved. And again, I couldn't reconcile what I'd been taught. And it just occurred to me one day that Jesus never said that.
Yeah.
And, you know, as I studied the Bible and the context of the words, I began to see that Jesus spoke over and over about loving everyone. He never condemned. He died for everyone. So over the last 10 years, you know, I went from being pretty conservative in my political views to pretty liberal, which when you're raised evangelical, that can be difficult, but right. I finally have
peace in my
heart.
You're told that you're the devil now because you're a liberal Christian, right? Yeah.
Yep.
I've heard that
exactly.
before. Wow. Yep. So that kind of paved the way for you. So tell us about like when your child came out. Give us a little bit of story there. So you have a non-binary child, correct?
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Jackson's 22. They're not much of a talker, so they told Aaron, my husband, and I that they wanted to talk to us, and we were both terrified. We thought we were in trouble or we did something wrong, because usually when Jackson wants to talk to us, it's like we fed the cat the wrong food I was sure something like that. But they came in the room and they were emotional and they said they were really scared. And I realized, okay, this is something about them, not about us. And they just came out and said, you know, I identify as non-binary. And my first feeling I had, I was just overwhelmed with pride because they were so scared to tell us, but they did it anyways. And then I just felt extremely grateful that they were letting us into their world.
Yeah.
And I felt sad that they waited a year to tell us. And you know, the first thing Aaron said was, "We love you. Nothing you can tell us can change that." And I said, "I'm so sorry if I've ever said or done anything that made you afraid to tell us." And then we just had all kinds of questions for them because I didn't know a lot about non-binary.
Yeah.
And so I just asked them all these probably uncomfortable questions, and they just answered all of our questions.
Yeah.
And it was really cool. And then more recently, they did a lot of research and they decided they wanted to start hormone therapy because of the benefits, you know, physically, mentally, emotionally. And they actually asked us to go to the doctor with them. And so we go to the doctor's appointments with them. And I just think that's really cool that they've allowed us to just be part of this. And it makes me feel really great as a mom.
Wow. So how do you see your role as a mom to them now that they've come out to you? Like, how do you see, has your role changed? How has that like been for you in your role as mom with a non-binary kid?
At first it was a little bit of an adjustment because part of my identity has always been a boy mom or mom of four boys.
Right.
But now I'm proud when someone asks me like, "Oh, you have all boys?" And I'm proud to say, "No, I have three boys and one non-binary child."
That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. And honestly, you know, I've grown up with Jackson because we had them so young.
Yeah.
And I do have a lot of regrets. You know, I wish I could have been a better mom to them and understood how to parent them better. But, you know, I didn't know what I was doing. And I've been a mom for almost 23 years. Sometimes I still feel like that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
They're grown up, you know, they're working, they're going to college. And now I just feel like my role is to be supportive in whatever they need. Sometimes that's hard because I don't always know what they need. They're not as vocal as their brothers. But I just try to make sure they know I love them and I'm always going to be there for them.
Yeah. Wow. So how do you see your love for your child reflect? How do you feel like you are reflecting the love of God to your non-binary child?
Well, you know, God's love is unconditional and unwavering. His love for us doesn't depend on, you know, what we do or who we love. And that's how we love our kids as parents. And, you know, Jackson's pretty easy to parent, but I have another kid who has given us a lot of trouble and gotten into a lot of trouble. You know the stories.
Yeah. Teenager stuff, right?
Yeah, teenager stuff, exactly. And I just feel like, you know, when stuff like that happens, it breaks my heart, but not because I'm mad or I'm not even disappointed in him. I never am. I'm sad because he has to then face consequences that I don't ever want my kids to have to deal with. And I think that's how God loves us. You know, he wants to protect us from consequences of our actions because he loves us so much.
Wow. What has been, now we're off script because we're so good at using our time.
Yeah.
What do you feel like you would say? Like, what would be your biggest advice? I was just talking to a mom today of a child who just came out as non-binary. What would your biggest advice be to a mom who's a Christian and one of their kids comes out to them as non-binary? What would your biggest advice to that parent be at this time?
Just embrace it. They're going to be healthier when they're living their truth. And honestly, as a parent, I feel blessed to be able to be a part of that. and just embrace it and be thankful that they came out to you and that they want you to be a part of their truth and of their life.
Yeah. So have you had to navigate any family fallout from, or even just friendship fallout from embracing your kids' gender identity?
Jackson was kind of somewhat selective with who they came out to or who they wanted to, you know,
right,
know about it. So we definitely have some family, and they may hear this and then they'll be aware.
Don't feel that you have to share that, but you know,
yeah,
like I'm just curious, like if there's a parent listening right now, they're like, well, if I embrace my kid and I love my kid who's trans, I'm not going to get invited to Thanksgiving anymore. So
yeah, if I had a family member, you know, and I probably do have family members who I know would be non-affirming. But if they're not going to invite me to Thanksgiving because of that, I don't want to fucking be there.
Sorry to drop an F-bomb. Amen. Hey, we can put the explicit button on this podcast. Yeah. That's fine.
Yeah. My child is who they are. And, you know, if you don't embrace that and love them for who they are, then I don't really want to, I don't really feel any need to be around you.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I guess one of my last kind of questions I want to ask is, what do you feel like, you know, a lot of parents, my mom was on the podcast last week and was just afraid. She said one of her first feelings was fear. What do you fear for your child who's come out as non-binary? And how do you feel as a parent, you're going to walk with your kid through that and show that love of God that I know that you want to?
I just talked to my mom about this the other day, and she said, I'm so scared of what kind of hate they're going to get. And, you know, she is right. And I said, Mom, all we can do is make this world a better place for them. And so that means being affirming and loving people and showing people it's okay. You know, it's okay. It's not a sin. It's Jesus loves my child. God loves my child, and I love them too. And you don't ever want your kids to experience anything like that. And this world can be very ugly, but all you can do is be a light in it. That's all you can do.
Well, Beverly, thank you for coming on the show. You are an example of a mother who's awesome. So thank you for coming on. Podcast listeners, after the music, we'll be back with the main part of our podcast. See you in a minute. Hey, podcast listeners, if you are somebody who has thought, I wish I had a pastor, but I don't want to go to church, well, you can join us and many other people just like you on Patreon. If you go to patreon.com/JoannaWhaley, right now we're building an entire community of people just like you who have thought, am I alone in this journey of my queerness or understanding myself and reconciling my faith? You can join for as little as $1.99 a month, or if you want to have more robust community, you can join for $4.99 a month. There's also a $9.99 a month option. But we want to support you, and I would be happy to be your pastor online. Go to patreon.com/JoannaWhaley. That's patreon.com/JoannaWhaley. You are the return, the only place. Well, hello, podcast listeners. Welcome back. What an awesome interview we just had with my sister Beverly. And there's a lot of new things happening on the podcast this week. I am doing a couple new things. I'm going to start putting a video out every week. My semester is over. I'm turning in my last paper for my first semester of my master's tomorrow. So I'm going to have a little more margin to start doing video. I'm going to try to get better and faster at this. That's the first thing. So I'll be putting that on my social media channels. The other thing to know is I'm doing something brand new today. I've got TikTok Live rolling right now while I'm recording this podcast. So what you want to do is go to TikTok and find Joanna Whaley Music, and start following me, because I'm going to start going live every single week that I record this podcast. And if you put questions in the chat while I'm giving my little spiel, my little talk, my little, if this is triggering, don't accept this word for me, but if you while I'm preaching my sermon, that this isn't a sermon, but it's going to kind of feel like that sometimes. But if you put something in the chat on that TikTok live, that's at Joanna Whalen Music on TikTok, I may just answer questions live and in real time on the podcast. I'm trying to figure out ways to get you interacted with me more in real time. Unless I'm like on the radio, I can't really do that, but this is a great way for us to stay connected. So, I want to bring you back to pre-transition for me. Okay. If you haven't heard much of my story, I was an evangelical megachurch pastor. And a lot of people get mad at me from, why do you always got to say you were a megachurch pastor? Oh, you're a trans woman megachurch pastor. Well, I just dropped my Coke. Did you hear it? I did. I just spilled my Coke and broke my glass live on the podcast. Sounds like it hit my guitar too. Okay. Well, we'll fix that later. Pre-transition, I was a megachurch pastor. And I was one of these guys, I say guys because that's what I was born male and transitioned female later in life. But I was somebody that people looked at and they said, that I was, you're so wise. You speak with wisdom, and you always show us a way to think differently. And I always took that as kind of this badge of honor when I was a young pastor. And, I was a young pastor, like in my early 20s, and I spoke with people where I was like, you're just so wise, And I just remember thinking to myself at times, like, I don't know what the hell I'm talking about, but I'm going to say it anyways. And I would say these things and people would go, oh, that was so good. Yeah, you're so right. Or so good, pastor. So good, pastor. I didn't have a Bible degree then. I didn't know what I was doing or talking about, but there I was, just kind of speaking and people accepting what I said as wisdom. But what's wild is that after I came out and transitioned as a trans woman, last week was my 2 years coming out. So 2 years ago, it'll be my hormone replacement therapy birthday, if you will, on Saturday. But when I came out 2 years ago, it was like almost overnight, people stopped believing the things that were coming out of my mouth. It's crazy. Simply because I'm a trans woman. Yeah, because I'm a trans woman, the same exact words would come out of my mouth. God is a healer. I would say stuff like, before transition, I would stand on stage and say, God is a healer. Amen. And people, like thousands of people in the room, amen. Come on, clapping. Woohoo. But post-transition, as a trans woman, I say, God is a healer. Amen. All of a sudden, skepticism. People just, no. God's not a healer. I won't accept what's coming out of your mouth because of who you are. Because you're a trans woman. So there's no way that I could accept the words that come out of your mouth now. But they're the same words. And they're the same truth in which I still believe. But I just think of healing differently. And so, like, this whole time, I've been met with skepticism post-transition by saying the exact same words I used to say when I was a male pastor. Pre-transition. when I was a pastor pre-transition, I would say the exact same words I say now. And now it's met with skepticism. And now I have to show my work. The funny thing is before transition, there was no work to show. None. I would just say stuff. God is a healer. Amen. I would say that without ever having experienced healing for myself. And so if I was told to show my work pre-transition, I wouldn't have been able to do it. There's absolutely no way that I would have been able to show my work pre-transition. But I was told that because I came out as a trans woman, that my healing wasn't valid anymore. I was told that I couldn't lead in the church anymore because I was a trans woman, or simply for being a woman. Male leadership was preferred. And when I walked away from male leadership, I was met with viciousness. We prefer masculine leadership in all things, even when it comes to the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We prefer the masculine. And as I said, it's because we just like read it in a book. We read it in the Bible and say, hey, that's the only thing we should think. We can't ever reframe this stuff. We've been in this series called Mother God. And what I want to do during this series, because obviously when this episode comes out, it comes out on Mother's Day. And we're reframing the gender of God a little bit during this series. Hello, welcome to the Joanna Whaley podcast. This is a queer theology podcast. So if you don't like that, you're probably in the wrong place. So let's look at this. The Trinity, right? The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. What if we were to talk about God as the Mother and the Daughter and the Holy Spirit? Oh, but we can't do that. You see, we preferred such masculine everything in our world. And the church in history has benefited from men being in charge. So there's no way we could worship a feminine God. Last week, I gave the listeners tons of passages from the Bible that show God's feminine nature, that actually speak about God in the feminine. But in the evangelical world, we've missed out on being led by strong and powerful women and great feminine women leaders. Trans women, cis women, people in the non-binary spectrum, we have missed out on great leadership and spiritual authority in faith simply because we prefer masculinity. I want to read a scripture from the book of Wisdom. Wisdom chapter 7, verse 27. It says, though she is but one, she can do all things. And while remaining in herself, she renews all things. In every generation, she passes into holy souls and makes them friends of God and prophets. The Book of Wisdom is not found in every single translation of the Bible, but it's there in some translations. It refers to God in the feminine. This passage of the Bible refers to God as a she, the Mother and the Daughter and the Holy Spirit. Is that possible? Well, we're reading it here. So here's the first thing I want to tell you today, is that God in her love speaks in all things. Do you have a mom? I have a mom that will literally try to speak wisdom into all things. Like, you know, I'm trying to explain online dating to my mother, right? Trying to explain online dating. It turns into a lecture at times about being careful and imparting wisdom onto me, right? and it seems though, like, it's like, okay, mom, I know. But there's those moments in life where you just like, when, especially now, like living my life in the feminine and living my life as an out woman, it's like, sometimes you just need to go to mom, because mom just like knows what to do. Mom can help. And it's a beautiful thing to see God that way, to see God in the feminine. We need to start moving towards a more universal picture of God, especially when it comes to things like if you're somebody who believes in the idea of salvation or, you know, or forgiveness or eternity. You know, God loves, like, God is in all things. And there's wisdom in all of those things through God. And when we look at God in the feminine, you know, God loves all things by becoming them. By becoming these things, the gospel, it incarnates inside of us. Yes, us, even you. If you're a trans person, or you're a lesbian, or you're a gay man, like, God is in you. If that is the belief you hold, if we truly believe in this imago Dei, this image of God, we have to see a universal spectrum of gender in our God. Because if we believe that God is in the man, or if God is in the woman, then we have to believe that God is in the non-binary person. We have to believe that God is in the trans person. We just have to, if we believe that God is, that human beings are created in the image of God. Unfortunately, in Christianity, we've just become sloppy in our thinking. Our faith has easily become like a competitive theology, and it has become so patriarchal in its theories of salvation, that salvation has to only be administered by men. Instead, we need to take up this more universal, cosmological, like spectral view of the inherent dignity and worth of all people. It's then, when we get rid of the patriarchal view of who God is, that's when we start to see the dignity of all human beings. That's when we start to see the language about trans people change. That's how we see you're able to hear God through a woman, through a trans woman. You know how many people have reached out to me and said that they've heard the voice of God speak through me, a trans woman? A lot. And I don't think that's a mistake. I think it's because in my belief system, God created me. So we need to shake off this old idea. You see, the mystery of God is that God is in all things. Therefore, we have to understand that we must have this evolving theology to understand that in a Western context, if we see men and women as equal, we take up the mystery of God. We have been so ingrained with this patriarchal language to think that God is in something and isn't in something. Richard Rohr, who's a Catholic theologian that I really love, he's kind of like the father of a lot of progressive Christian thought. And he says, you know, you need to take off your Christian head. You need to shake it wildly and then put it back on. You need to get the crap and the dirt and the nasty crap out of your head and put on something new. We need to think bigger. We just need to think bigger. Let us not miss the beauty in seeing God in all things. If we could see God in a trans person, you would see a very creative God. It's true. If you could just see God in all things and really believe in that omnipresence that you heard people say in Christianity, God is omnipresent, we would also remove this idea of binary good and evil. If we could get rid of this idea that things are either black or white, they're good or they're bad, we would stop seeing human beings who are created in the image of God as good and bad. We would. We need to think bigger. Let us not miss the beauty of seeing God in all things. We need to stop being small-minded and uniform in when it comes to understanding God, reducing God to this binary presence of absent or here. It can really make us see the divine in a bigger way. Robert Gross, a queer theologian, says, condensing God to human relating, whether in bed or not, is dangerous because human relationships simply cannot bear the weight of the divine. Well, I hear what he's saying, and as a queer theologian myself, I do think it's dangerous to look to one human being or a relationship and say, you know, that is the only way that it should be, right? That is the picture of God. I don't think it is fair to ask a human to carry the whole weight of the divine. But what we can do is start seeing the creativity of God in all people. The next thing I want to talk about is this, is that renewal is found in the feminine nature of the divine. What I'm going to do over the next couple of minutes is people are going to say, the Bible says what it says. You can't change the Bible. You can't change the Bible. The Bible doesn't change. You know, God's word doesn't change. I'm asleep. Okay. One of the things I love about queer theology and progressive theology is the ability to reframe and retell things. So what I'm going to do in the next couple of minutes, I'm going to read some scriptures and I'm going to retell these Bible scriptures and I'm going to retell them in a feminine way. Today we're talking about God, the daughter, the second part of the Trinity in a feminine way. Isaiah 40:31 says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will talk and not be faint. So this idea of renewing our strength, like God is renewing our strength. We aren't seeing it. I haven't really changed anything yet, but here we go. Matthew 19:28. Jesus said to them, I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the daughter of humans sits on her glorious throne, you who have followed me would sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. The daughter of humans. Reframing Jesus in the feminine. What a crazy idea. What a crazy thought to reframe Jesus as a daughter. What about Romans 12:2? Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, her good, pleasing, and perfect will. Boy, if that isn't a weaponized scripture against queer people, I don't know what is. I really don't. It is a scripture, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world. Well, let me tell you what some of the patterns of the world are right now. Some of the patterns of this world look like people wielding power in government to enforce Christian rule on others. These are some of the most powerful places of authority in our world right now. I don't want to be conformed to that. If I'm viewing God in a feminine nature, I have no interest in what's called the Seven Mountains Mandate, which is making sure that Christians take over all aspects of the world. Not interested. I want to be renewed in my mind because I'm looking at God in a feminine way, and God the mother, God the daughter, isn't interested in seizing power and authority. God the mother is interested in nurturing and caring for what she has in front of her. Now, that's an overgeneralization of femininity and womanhood. I understand that. But I'm going to that extreme to say, this is what I see if I read scripture and retell it in a feminine way. What about Titus 3? This is more weaponized scripture against trans people. But what if we change the lens to female? What if we were? She saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of her mercy, talking about God and the feminine. She saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal. One thing I love about being with my mom is that there's times where it's difficult for me to leave my mom's house and a night with my mother and not feel renewed and refreshed. If I've had a bad day and I just talk to my mom about it, it's this sense of peace. The sense of calm comes around me. You see, what I don't want to do is just like offer like new, I'm not offering something new here. I'm not saying, hey, I've discovered that God is a female. I'm not even making that distinction. I'm not even like making that claim. But what I'm saying is if we take this Christian scripture and reframe it, do a queer or a feminine or a womanist telling of the scripture, we can see God in God's fullness. Yes, if we talk about God in a non-binary way, we can see God in a much more creative way. And we can think about some of the things we wrestle with God in a different light, because we're talking to someone different almost. The next thing is, God invites you to be connected to generations. One thing my mom has been really awesome at doing in my life is keeping me connected with my family and my heritage, reminding me of the good things that my grandmother did and my grandfather and the generations before then. Like, it has been an awesome thing to be reconnected with the past. And my mother also has helped me be a good parent to my kids, who are the future generation. Moms have this ability. Daughters have this ability to be connected to generations past and in the future. It's part of our nature. We're connected beings. Women are connected beings with others. And religions, world religions, have been attempting to keep us connected for generations. Two generations. Confucianism, which is this a Chinese based religion, kind of originated there. According to their belief, there's this reverence for ancestors as an expression of piety. There's this fundamental order that humanity is good. Confucianism, it emphasizes the importance of correct relationship between generations. Religious practice in China, Taiwan, Malaysia, they don't focus on doctrinal theology, but they rather identify with family lineage and participating in these life cycles and being connected to one another. Indigenous religions, like shamanism, they're connected to generations. Ancient African religions, they have artwork where it depicts the largest figures in their artwork is always the ancestor because it's so important. Japan, they have these rituals where they connect with their ancestors and they acknowledge the importance of having ongoing relationship with the living and their deceased family members. And Mexico is great at this. El Día de los Muertos, I probably butchered that, is the Day of the Dead. It marks the enduring ties between the living and the dead. The Quran even talks about being connected generation to generation. But Christianity cannot be lazy enough to think that it isn't either. Christianity should know that we are connected from generation to generation. Catholicism has really paved the way for us in this. And I've, if you listen to this podcast, I sometimes can get criticism of, can get very critical of my friends in the Catholic world. I grew up Catholic, but one thing my grandmother was great at was remembering through her faith those who had passed before her. God, the mother, and God, the daughter, is good at remembering those we've loved in the past. Reframing God to not just be this guy in the sky with lightning bolts, but to be a mother. Again, an overgeneralization, but being a mom, preparing the meal for the family. Being the daughter who comes to dad with a hug. This is how we can see faith differently when we drop the patriarchal views. So get rid of your ideas of binary thought, of good and evil, and gendering God. Renew and retell the stories of your faith, whatever it is, but try to renew and reframe it in a feminine way and see where it takes you. I promise you won't burn in hell if you do it. I don't even believe in hell, and that'll make people mad. But find a way to reconnect with your spirituality by simply changing the frame. God is a mother. God is a daughter. I want to thank you for joining me on the podcast this week. Next week, we are talking about the Holy Spirit, and we're going to have a lot of fun next week. If you want to follow along on TikTok each and every week, you can go to TikTok and go to Joanna Whaley Music. And I saw lots of people watching today, and I promise in the future I'm going to try to keep connecting. This has been a production of Whaley Media. Go ahead and take a listen to this song called Out of My Head. It's coming out June 1st. We'll see you next week.